Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you all, wherever you're listening to us from, and welcome to this edition of Africa Link this Monday, July 2016. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, a faction of South Sudan's armed opposition said it had replaced its leader, who is also the country's first vice president, Riek Machar. We hear from our correspondent.
What I have confirmed is that Taban Deng Gai replaced Riek Machar. It looks like the president will not deny him that post.
Also on the program, we will be hearing how the opposition and civil society groups in Zimbabwe lack coordination if they collectively address issues affecting their country.
If somebody were to seize this opportune moment, then we are going to have a revolution in Zimbabwe. If somebody just wakes up, unite all these forces, there will be change.
These stories and much more to come in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
A faction of South Sudan's armed opposition said over the weekend that it had replaced its leader, who's also the country's first vice president, a move which could lead to further turmoil following deadly clashes in the capital this month. Riek Machar was replaced as Kiir's deputy by Taban Deng, who acted as the rebels' chief negotiator during peace talks. Before we came on air, I spoke to DW's James Shimanyula in Nairobi, and I started by asking him more about the new replacement and whether it was a plausible move to have Machar out.
Taban Deng Gai, he has replaced Riek Machar, though I may call this unilateral replacement because it is him who has actually come out in the open and it looks like the president will not deny him that post. So things may be cool at the moment, but it's like killing a snake. It sneaks out of the house, it hides in the bush, and then you say you are safe, you are not.
How is Machar's replacement going to impact the stability of South Sudan, since there are fears that the country could be plunged into another conflict?
Riek Machar's absence from Juba, being in the bush or in the hiding, the fact that he's not in Juba gives credence to your point that there may be another fighting, which I'm afraid may not be stoppable. Having been in the country for 7 years in the bush during the fight for independence.
On Saturday, South Sudan's President Salva Kiir met with his Ugandan counterpart, Yoweri Museveni. Do we know what was on the menu to be discussed?
All I know from diplomatic sources and insiders and the people I've interacted with over the years that are also monitoring the situation in Juba and in Uganda, there is a possibility, Mr. Mugabe, that since the situation appears to be moving towards what I can characterize as explosion on the ground militarily, there is need for President Salva Kiir to see his comrade in arms, that is a neighbor, President Yoweri Museveni, as he did in 2013 when hell broke loose in Juba and fighting broke out between Machar's forces and troops loyal to Salva Kiir, so that the Ugandan troops can cross into Juba and protect Salva Kiir. This is the time to knock at the door of a close friend and a neighbor. Come and help.
I was speaking to James Shimanyula in Nairobi. We now head to Zimbabwe, where political analysts have said that the increase of civil and pro-democracy demonstrations in the country must not be highly taken as the end of the country's long-time ruler, President Robert Mugabe. The country's civic movements and opposition parties are said to lack unity of purpose if they're to bring about both political and economic change. DW's correspondent Privilege Mushanli filed this report from the capital, Harare.
Various civic movements have been having independent protests in the country to vent out their frustration on the deteriorating economic and social conditions. Prominent among them is the cleric Ivan Mawarire, who became an overnight civic rights hero by challenging government to act on corruption and bad economic conditions affecting the country. Though the wave of civil demonstrations has given rise to expectations of ending 92-year-old President Mugabe's 36-year stay in power, analysts caution that the long-time ruler will not easily be dislodged. Political analyst Alexander Rusero says the opposition and civic movements are not united and are operating too loosely.
All is not well in Zimbabwean systems, be it on the part of the ruling party, be it on the part of the opposition. If somebody were to seize this opportune moment, then we are going to have a revolution in Zimbabwe. If somebody just wakes up, unite all these forces, there will be change.
The Zimbabwe government is taking the civil protest in the country as a non-event. Last week, President Mugabe dismissed cleric Mawarire as an agent of the West meant to destabilize the country. Rusero says, despite putting up a brave face, the government is feeling the pressure of growing discontent.
The government is not in any way playing a deaf ear. It's not in any way pretending as if everything is okay. But they are simply wearing a strong face. But the truth is there's panic in ZANU-PF. There's panic in government. It explains why there is jostling, making pronouncements. Because they don't want to give protesters another opportunity to go back to the streets.
President Mugabe is also facing mounting opposition within his political party. Last week, Liberation War fighters defied his leadership by releasing a damning communique accusing the party leadership for failing to address economic problems facing the country in the last 2 years. War veteran spokesperson Douglas Mahia says Mugabe has isolated the former fighters and replaced them with the youths who they feel are amped on political ideology.
We sacrificed our lives. Today, we are forced to become foreigners of a party that we need to relive again. It's not fair.
Despite mounting pressure, Mugabe still commands a strong support base from people who choose to ignore their deteriorating socio-economic standing. Thousands marched in the streets of Harare to defend him last week. The party's youth political commissar, Innocent Hamandishe, strongly warned pro-democracy movements who are challenging Mugabe's leadership.
If you intimidate our president, you are provoking us. Next time, if pastors want to be funny, we are asking the police to stand aside and let us deal with them personally. We don't want someone who intimidates a president that we voted for.
President, we don't want to vote for Jesus.
That report was filed by Privilege Mushaniri in Harare.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Volunteers have recovered the bodies of 41 presumed migrants that washed up on a Libyan beach. Illegal migration from Libya booms in the summer months when the Mediterranean is generally calm and traffickers park unsafe boats with migrants desperate to start a new life in Europe. Libya has become a transit post for large numbers of migrants desperate to start a new life in Europe. Martin Kobler, the head of the UN support mission in Libya, spoke to my colleague Mark Caldwell on the issue of migrants trying to reach Europe using Libya as a transit base.
Well, we have, as of now, in this year, 77,000 refugees who left Libya, and it's not yet the end of the season. We are now mid-July, and the stream of refugees continues. We have on our list here 235,000 refugees from African countries in Libya, so I expect that this will continue still, and there is not an end in sight.
Where are these refugees coming from? Has there been any change recently in the countries of origin?
They came from all over. They came from Senegal, from Gambia, but also as far as Somalia and Eritrea, crossing the whole of Libya during summertime from east to west. And they are traumatized. They lost their kins. I heard stories from Senegalese, a man who lost his whole family, his two young children, and his wife was bumped off the truck in the middle of the desert. So these people are traumatized, and they would like to go back to their countries. but also others want to continue to Europe, where they see a perspective of future life.
What's your opinion of Operation Sophia, in which European Union naval vessels intercept people smuggling boats in the Mediterranean? Is that the right response under the circumstances?
Well, it's very important that the human trafficking is combated, but this is best done, of course, at land. And by restitution of state authority, that's where the European and we are working on. Refugees who are intercepted outside the 12-mile zone, they cannot be sent back. Operation Sophia is operated outside the 12-mile zone, so they cannot intercept refugees and send them back, but they have to then get them on board of their boats and then delivering them somewhere in Lampedusa or in Europe. But the other question is the Operation Sophia training of the Coast Guard. This is something which is starting right now in order to enable the Libyan Coast Guard to keep the people in Libya. But then there must be programs to have, first of all, a good situation in the camps. The situation in the camp I have visited, at least, was substandard, really substandard. And, of course, one has to work with the countries of origin to work at the sources, that the people, they do not leave their countries because they are in economic despair.
Martin Kobler, the UN Special Representative and Head of the United Nations Support Mission in Libya, speaking to Africa Link's Mark Caldwell. Now, the Nigerian federal government has proposed to provide 60 billion naira in soft loans for market traders across the country, which will be used to cushion the effect of the country's dwindling economy. In this report by Neka Luke, it takes a look at the effectiveness and actualization of the proposed soft loans against the backdrop that a similar project, which was carried out by previous governments in Nigeria, was unsuccessful and became an avenue for money laundering by some corrupt politicians in the country.
In recent times, Nigeria continues to face economic hardship as a result of the dwindling price of oil, which has greatly affected all sectors of the nation's economy, making life difficult for most Nigerians. This is one of the reasons the government decided to provide soft loans for small-scale traders in the country. Some traders in Nigeria who spoke to Deutsche Welle expressed their willingness to collect the loans and promised to make judicious use of the money.
By God's power, we will pay.
By God's power, we will pay back the government's money. We have to sweat and work hard.
I go collect and I do business. I need money.
I have to do business. I need money. I'm doing everything I can to make good use of this money.
The launch of the soft loan program is a positive move by the Buhari-led government, but more needs to be done to eradicate poverty in the country, says Abdullahi Abubakar, an economist from Nigeria.
Sadly, it will go a long way in assisting and helping some people to grow economically and to get empowered. But for sure, the issue of soft loan alone is not enough to eradicate poverty.
Bebezi Aminu, a financial expert, told Deutsche Welle that the soft loan will go a long way in reducing the current hardship facing Nigerians.
According to our World Bank statistics, more than 50% of Nigerians are living below the poverty line. They are earning less than $1 per day. If somebody can get a soft loan as little as 5,000, it will greatly assist him in moving out of that poverty line.
It should be recalled that previous governments in Nigeria also adopted similar measures, which were marred by middlemen who looted the funds. This has prompted the call on the current government to take proactive measures to prevent the money from being siphoned. Abdullahi Abubakar says,
the government should do everything it can to make sure that the market women, the poor, the underprivileged, who are the target of this money, only the money gets to them.
The soft loan program is targeted at over 1 million Nigerians.
A report by Neka Luke. It's now time to join the Learning by Ear team for another segment of our drama series on migration.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Learning by Ear. We are on the seventh episode of this radio drama called The Promised Land, a story of African migration to Europe. In the last episode, Sule was shocked to see his friend Farahani on a news report about illegal migrants who were intercepted at sea by European border guards and sent back home. Meanwhile, Linda has been in Europe for 4 months now, and the reality of studying and living there is beginning to dawn. She chatted online with her fiancé Chivasi, but lied to him about how difficult she was finding things. Finally, Linda called Florence, a lady she met on the plane on her way to Europe. Florence has offered to help Linda find a solution to her money problems. So what's in store for us today? Keep listening to today's episode called Survival in the Concrete Jungle. We begin with Linda and Florence, who are meeting at the shopping center to buy Linda some warm winter clothes.
Wow! This place is absolutely amazing! So many shops all together in one big building. And so many beautiful things. This is the kind of stuff you see in fashion magazines, isn't it?
You're so funny. Okay, let's go and make you into a European African lady.
It's so kind of you. Florence?
Yeah?
May I ask you a question? A rather personal one.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
How did you end up here in Europe? Did you come to study or work? You seem to be doing really well, and I'm quite envious.
Okay, Linda, first of all, never ask a migrant, especially from Africa, how they ended up here. It's taboo. Secondly, hey, you don't need to envy me. You can have what I have too. But you have to be patient, and you have to make some sacrifices.
You mean I can have a car like yours, clothes like yours, and wear nice jewelry like yours?
Yep.
In that case, I need to find a job like yours.
Yeah, something like that. You're too young, though. Really, I think it's better we leave it for now.
I'm not too young. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here in Europe. I'll turn 21 soon. I'm quite old enough to make my own decisions. What sacrifices will I have to make?
Linda, people think that you only find jungles in Africa, Asia, and South America. But Europe is a jungle, too. The difference is that this is a concrete jungle. But the rule of the jungle is the same wherever you are. Survival of the fittest. We migrants need to do much more than the natives just in order to survive. Hey, do you like this dress?
Yes, it's beautiful. But I can't...
Go on and try it on. If it fits, I'll buy it for you.
Flor, thank you. I've never had a friend like you.
Florence is almost too generous and kind to be true, don't you think? After all, she hardly knows Linda. What can she really want from her? Linda tries on dress after dress, shoe after shoe, coat after coat. And Florence says she's happy to pay the bill. But as Linda is piling up her purchases at the shopping center, her parents have been given some dreadful news. Let's join them as they arrive home from work.
Shut up, you stupid dog. You have no idea what we've just been through.
Hey, come on. The dog had nothing to do with us being laid off. Don't put the blame on him.
30 years. 30 years we've been civil servants working our fingers to the bone. Then all of a sudden, we are told there's no work for us. It isn't fair, Mama Linda. It isn't fair.
You had the director. He said this is happening all over the world. People everywhere are losing their jobs. So come on, darling. Don't worry. We'll manage.
How will we manage? Why is it always the little people who have to carry the burden? We didn't deserve this. No, Mama Linda. We deserved better. We deserved better.
Yes. Sit down, my darling. I'll make you a nice cup of tea and you'll soon feel better.
I don't want a cup of tea. Why would a cup of tea make me feel better? I want my job back.
Okay, darling. I know this isn't easy for you. It's hard for me too. But you aren't going to make it easier by getting angry with me and the dog. Let's talk it over and see where we can go from here. Would you like me to tell Linda what happened?
Have you lost your mind? What do you want to tell Linda? That both her parents are now jobless and will soon be homeless as well? You know that our daughter is trying to concentrate on her studies. This will only make her worry. She doesn't even know yet that we can't pay her fees for the rest of the course. You will tell her none of this.
Maraga, my dear husband, I'm afraid you're not thinking straight. Linda is our daughter. She's the only child we have, and so she needs to know what the situation is at home. I think she's mature enough to cope with the news, and maybe, well, she might be able to help us.
Help us. How?
Oh, financially, of course. I hear that most African students living in Europe find jobs they can do in their free time. Why shouldn't Linda do the same? It's obvious that we're going to need some financial assistance. There'll be no salary coming in, and we've spent all our savings on her studies.
So she can work while she continues to study?
That's exactly what I just said.
I know you did. Why didn't you tell me about this earlier? Does Linda know she can do this?
If she didn't know before she went, I'm sure she does now. In fact, I'd be surprised if she hasn't found a job already in the university canteen or something. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Linda does love cooking. You know what, Mama Linda? That cup of tea is beginning to sound like a good idea after all.
I always have good ideas.
Ask anyone who's lost their job and they'll tell you. It's not only a financial blow, but also psychologically devastating. Luckily for them, or so they think, they have a daughter in Europe who can send them money once in a while. Back at the shopping center, Florence has just finished paying for Linda's goodies. And now they're sitting in a fast food restaurant having a meal.
Mmm, this chicken is yummy.
Yeah.
Flo, this is like the most fun I've had since I arrived in Europe. I'd like to live just like you. I'm ready to do whatever it takes.
Are you sure, Linda? Mm-hmm. You know, once you decide, there's no turning back.
Nice dresses, fancy shoes, warm winter coats and a tasty meal. What's there to turn back to? Tell me, what do I have to do?
What about your boyfriend?
Who, Shivasi?
Mm-hmm.
What about him?
Well, yes. Where does he come into your plans?
Well, he doesn't. I mean, I still love him, of course, but I have to think about my life here right now. He has his own life back home.
Were you planning to get married?
As a matter of fact, yes, we are. After I finish with my studies. But for now, I want to enjoy my time here and live like all the other students.
Okay. Can you keep a secret, Linda?
Of course I can.
I mean, a real secret from everyone. Everyone you know and trust.
Even my parents?
Especially your parents. And Shivasi too.
Okay. I'm getting a bit nervous now. What's the secret? Do you deal in drugs?
No. Come on, do I look like someone who's into drugs?
No, but before I came here, I was warned that drugs are a major problem here in Europe.
Yep.
Even with some of the people at my university.
Yeah, no, but no, Linda, I don't do drugs and I don't deal in them either, okay?
So what can it be then? Is it prostitution?
If I said yes, what would you say?
I would say, Florence, it was a real pleasure meeting you and thank you for spending such a wonderful time with me. But I'm sorry, I didn't come to Europe to sell my body for money.
You'd really say that?
Yes. There are some things I can compromise on, but some things are against my principles, and that is something I could never, ever do.
But you said you could keep a secret, right?
Yes, I can. As long as it doesn't hurt me or those I love and care for.
All right, Linda. You say you want to live a life like mine, and you're ready to do what it takes? So here's the deal.
Want to know what deal Florence is going to propose? And what Linda's response will be? And what about our North African friends Farahani and Sule? Remember them? 4 months have passed since Farahani nearly drowned trying to cross into Europe illegally. Are they planning another attempt? Don't miss the next episode of The Promised Land, a story of African migration to Europe. And join us online to discuss this episode, including what African migrants have to do to be granted the right to stay in Europe by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/DW.LBE. Until we meet again, take care and bye-bye.
And now a reminder of the headlines once again. A faction of South Sudan's armed opposition said it had replaced its leader, who's also the country's first vice president, Riek Machar. We've been hearing about the lack of coordination within civil society groups in Zimbabwe in addressing issues affecting the country. And also we heard how the Nigerian federal government proposed to provide 60 billion naira in soft loans for market traders across the country. There we come to the end of the program. For comments and suggestions, as usual, you can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link, DW53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957 59510. Join me tomorrow at the same time, and I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn.